So, this is, then, the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 134C on page 528, and we're dealing with planetary and systemic centers. We've talked quite a bit about the cities on various continents. We've suggested that certain cities in the two hemispheres, well, considering east and west as hemispheres, not just north and south, can represent the chakric areas of those hemispheres. I mean, if it is so that nations have chakras, it seems to me, and that the planet as a whole has inlets, which I think are chakras, then why should not part of a planet, a hemisphere, which lies between the divisions of nations and the entirety of the Earth, why should they not have chakras as well? What we did understand is that the second and fourth rays really rule humanity as it is now emerging, second ray soul, fourth ray personality. Even though the fourth creative hierarchy is predominantly ruled by the fourth ray. And man is Manus, and the combination in this world period of the fourth and fifth rays have so much to do with man as a kingdom. But that the Occident also, towards which occultism is moving, the deeper spiritual truths moving into the Occident has a second ray soul and a fourth ray personality, just as humanity does. And so in this interrelation, which can bring harmony and understanding, harmony through the fourth ray and understanding through the second, lies the hope for humanity. And not strictly in the struggles of the fourth ray or the manipulations, financial and energy manipulations of the third ray when unenlightened, although the third ray ashram is at work, we know, and there will be an enlightened use of the third ray under the Maha Chohan and the Venetian master. Still, humanity's major problem is addiction to this third ray and to the personality aspect and to the separativeness of the third ray rather than the cooperative fusion of the second. So we're entering this section here we call planetary and systemic centers. I think he's telling us about many centers of force and under the science of triangles, their interrelationships. He's laying out the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, and some of this we have to put together. Because there are some cities, for instance, for whom we are given the rays, like New York, but we are not, since it is not a capital city, we are not given its soul and personality signs. We're only given Cancer as related. We are given the rays of Geneva, and we are only given one sign. I believe it's a Gemini. Let's see. It's been such a short time ago. Here, we'll do it this way. New York, we're sure to find it this way. Cancer. So, here, Geneva, no, it's Leo for Geneva. Connecting, interestingly, with the personality ray of Russia. And for these cities, we are not told, we're only given the sign related to their function as a personality, or as an inlet for planetary force. Only in the case of London, which is a capital city for England and major for Great Britain, are we also given the the ruling signs, which are Leo and Libra, but not in any other case. We're only given one sign, and each one of these will naturally have three signs, the two signs for the soul and personality, when we're considering that the center simply a city in a nation, important for that nation. But when we're considering the city as a world center, then for four of them so far as I can tell, we are only being given one sign. Now, you know, if we can have the signs for the world centers, we could certainly find the chakras with enough thought for the hemispheres, and there's likely to be some duplication there. So I have given you here and elsewhere in my writings all that it is at this time possible to give anent the planetary centers and the rays, and some things have been left to our research. Not the entire picture has not been given, including the rays of nations and of races. It depends on what he means by races, or does he mean races as national types, perhaps. You will find a wealth of information. That is, when I read those words, I think so much of Taurus and of DK's possible relation to the sign Taurus, which gives this great incentive towards knowledge and the accumulation of knowledge. So you will find a wealth of information hidden in my various statements. If due search is made and the material is gathered into a coherent whole. Well, we are researching the various books as we go along here in esoteric astrology, because we find that without certain information from the destiny of the nations, what we are being presented with here would be incomplete. So I would ask you to study and compare, to read and search topically, and to extract all that I have said about the various nations, their governing constellations, in this case, governing or ruling is a superior act to the use of the word rulership when a planet is compared to a constellation. We have greater governors and, in a way, lesser governors or rulers. There's a wide field of research here, and those people in the Ageless Wisdom who are strongly politically inclined, with much first or perhaps third ray, although he did say that the political thinker is often under the third ray, but actual entry into politics, we have the first, sixth, and seventh rays, which are active. So study topically all that I've said about the various nations, their governing constellations, and planetary rulers, a wide field of research, and the research will fall into several categories. What is this research? Research into the nature of man's centers, the nature and influences of their governing planets, their interrelation from the energy angle, and the quality of the ray forces which are seeking expression, plus a knowledge of the personality and egoic rays. Well, this involves the individual case for the human being. We do have to start often with the microcosm and the nature of the planets governing those centers and the interrelation of the rays, planets, and signs which govern various centers, the quality of the ray forces which are seeking expression through each center, and, of course, a knowledge of the personality and egoic rays, so that we can see which of the living centers, those that are particularly alive, are being stimulated by either the egoic ray or the personality ray. Out of this will come a grasp of the human constitution, an understanding grasp of the human constitution, which will reveal all relationships and produce two basic events in time. And let us see what they might be. A, the blending of the subjective and objective life of the individual in the waking consciousness. Well, I think when we know all of the energy connections in our energy system, we tend to end the sequestration of one vehicle from another. So we do need to bring through what our subjective life has been, and it has to become objective in our consciousness. So two basic events in time. Man will, in this way, know himself much better, and we can put that down. Man will know self much more thoroughly. Okay. And also what will happen here? A new relation established between men, which will be based upon the above fusion. Well, men will know themselves better, and the inner and outer life will be drawn together, and we will not be so ignorant of our higher energy possibilities, and so greater understanding will emerge through the fusion of soul and personality. So a new relation will be established between men and will be based upon the above fusion. Okay. Two basic events. So, first one is research into man's centers with the subsidiary categories of blending the subjective and objective and establishing a new relation. And the second is research into the various national centers and their esoteric ruling energies, revealing in a more universal manner and with a wider horizon the destiny of humanity in relation to group units, large and small. The soul and personality qualities of nations will be studied, the centers within each nation, which focus certain ray energies will be noted, and the qualitative emanation of its five or six major cities will be investigated. Maybe we can say, if the country is advanced, it may have even six major cities which are distributing energy. Okay. Right. Get these spellings a little bit better. Hate to take the time to do it, but all right. Let me here give you an instance of what I mean. The influences of New York, Washington, Chicago, Kansas City, and Los Angeles will be the subject of scientific research. I think a lot of American disciples have already looked into this, and they have assigned these cities as important chakra centers in the country, the United States. Of course, the chakra centers of the Occident will be larger centers because the Occident is a much larger whole than the United States is. The psychic atmosphere and the intellectual appeal will be studied. Effort will be made to discover the soul quality and the personality nature, the spiritual and the materialistic aspects of these great aggregations of human beings which have come into expression in certain fixed localities because they are expressions of the four centers in the vital body of the nation. So let's take a look here at what we might have, at least according to some of the work done by the various disciples who have thought about these matters. the Throat Center for New York at the present time. It has a third ray personality and a second ray soul. So one day the soul will express through the throat, the heart through the throat, but maybe not yet. Washington, the head center. Chicago, maybe, as it's been thought, solar plexus center. Los Angeles is the heart center. And what about Kansas City? Well, is it the base of the... I mean, we haven't got much left. We have done the head. Now, it's also been suggested that Boston may be the Ajna Center. It's a major city with a very strong educational tradition. And it has to... the intellect of Boston is important in directing the country. So this is a maybe. And some have suggested that the sacral center of the nation is New Orleans. This is another suggestion. New Orleans. Maybe the sacral center of the nation. Definitely, Kansas City then is very central in a certain way, and it could be the base of the spine center. It's a possible assignment. I would have to know more about Kansas City to see whether this is possible. It doesn't seem like it is the sacral center. New Orleans seems much more like that. We'd have to look at other prominent cities. He's only given us New York, Washington, Chicago, Kansas City, and Los Angeles. He's only given us five. And the question is the base of the spine center really active? But we do know that Washington is the head center. It's the seat of government, and he tells us pretty much that Los Angeles is the heart center. And New York, with its powerful third ray, the throat center, that makes sense in terms of three major cities. And then after that, we'd be dealing with the centers below the diaphragm and somehow the Ajna center. So there will be here, so we can say Kansas City, and we'll put in here hypothesis. The base of spine center. I don't know that we can justify that necessarily. It's not necessarily lower in the country as the base of spine center would tend to be. And I don't know that we can necessarily look at New Orleans as a base of spine center. Anyway, we seem pretty sure about the first four. Washington Head Center, New York Throat Center, Los Angeles Heart Center, Solar Plexus, Chicago. So the psychic atmosphere will be studied, and the soul quality and personality nature, we will attempt to study that as well. We're not given actually... I wonder if we are given the rays of Washington. I don't think so, but we are certainly Washington. We are only given the signs, Cancer and Sagittarius. I don't see any rays, but of course, the head center that I think is discussed in the Destiny of the Nations. Hmm. Okay. These are interesting. I wonder if they have something to do with the Occident. Of course, these are mostly capital cities that I've run into. Go to the window, send out love and light to those who guide the decisions of men upon the earth. But of course, they were prominent during the war, and so Berlin was included. Well, here it is, in the externalization of the hierarchy. Nations, for instance, have seven centers, all have all forms of existence, from human to animal upward, and it is interesting to discover these centers and note the type of energy which flows through them in connection with the United States of America. Chicago is the solar plexus center, while New York is the throat center and Washington the head center. The heart center is Los Angeles, okay? I guess it's not just conjecture. It's externalization of the hierarchy, page 85. Okay, and I'm going to list that here. All right, right here. And what we have to do is get rid of these numbers while not getting rid of the space. So, do this here, and there we are. So this is EXH, page 85. And we will make it just a little bit smaller and change the color. There it is. Nations, for instance, have seven centers, and as have all forms of existence in relation to the United States, we have four of them listed. We don't have Kansas City listed, and we don't have Boston listed. We don't have necessarily an Ajna center. And we don't have a base of the spine center. So what's missing? Let's look at this. Missing are the Ajna center, sacral, and base of spine center. From all that goes on in New Orleans, it seems so much, in a way, a sacral center. All right. Now, he goes on and he discusses the same type of division in nations. It would be wonderful if he would do that for the hemispheres, but perhaps we have to determine that ourselves. Okay. He does go on, though, and discuss other groupings. So let's see. In connection with the British Empire, a study will be made of London, Sydney, Johannesburg, Toronto, and Vancouver, with subsidiary studies of Calcutta, Delhi, Singapore, Jamaica, and Madras, which are all subjectively related in a manner unforeseen by students at present. I'm not going to hazard so much of a guess here. I have my Australian friends who think that we're dealing with the solar plexus center when dealing with Sydney, and with a kind of a head center when dealing with London. But I'm not informed sufficiently to find the names here for these five. I wonder what order they were listed in above. Let's see if the order can tell us anything. Throat, head, solar plexus, X and heart. Throat, head, solar plexus, X and heart. Will the listing be similar here? Throat, head, solar plexus, X and heart? No, I don't think so. No, London maybe functions in a way as both the head center and maybe head and heart. Let's just see about that. We'll take a look. London, head, heart, maybe. Well, he does actually deal with it. We have to go back to that same page. London is, of course, the heart center for Great Britain and temporarily also the head center. Okay. Whilst Ottawa is the throat center and Sydney is the solar plexus of the British Empire. Someday I may indicate to you the centers through which the forces of manifestation have to work for the various nations. Let's hope that's coming up soon. So here, again on page 85, we can... we can bring this in on page 85. London is, of course, the heart center, and this is EXH on page 85. There's no sense to guess about it if he does tell us 85. So, London, temporary head center. What else could it be before long? And London is, of course, the heart center and temporarily the head center. Whilst Ottawa is the throat center and Sydney the solar plexus. How interesting. A study will be made of London, Sydney, and we'll put that in. He doesn't say, he doesn't tell us about Ottawa. It's not there. Ottawa is the capital of Canada. So this is the solar plexus. Johannesburg, Toronto has this changed from Ottawa? Has this changed from Ottawa? How many are we given? We are given 1, Vancouver 1, Toronto 2, Johannesburg 3, Sydney 4, and London 5. In each case, we're given 5 centers. But the only center we might have to leave out would be what? Would it be the base of the spine? Would it be the sacral center? Because head and heart are temporarily given. Okay, and Calcutta, Delhi, Singapore, Jamaica, and Madras, they're all subjectively related, and only 2 of them are in India. 1 is its own location, Singapore. Jamaica is in the Western Hemisphere. Madras is also India. So we have 3 in India. Well, DK says, one day I may give this to you. For the present time, we're pretty much discussing a few hints. Someday I may indicate to you. I'm going to underline all of this. It's one of the major hierarchical sciences, he tells us, from externalization of the hierarchy, and indicates to us who know it the possibilities latent in any nation, the point of attainment, and the opportunities for work and advancement. Obviously, they're thinking in wholes, or the obstacles to progress, and this is gauged by the light in the centers and the heightening and the obscuration of their vibration. It is this which that makes possible or hinders the growth of what is called spiritually in individuals and in nations, spirituality. And this science will later be recognized. It is by means of this science that the hierarchy can form its larger plans and know in what manner individual nations will react to stimulation and to progress of the desired kind. This is the modern form of the ancient Atlantean Laya Yoga, or the Yoga of the Centers. All right. Very interesting, but incomplete, no? Russia. Now, what do we have here? Two A. Research into various national centers. All right. Russia fusing and blending Eastern Europe and Western and Northern Asia, and the United States and later South America, especially with the Six Root Race, fusing and blending Central and Western Europe and the entire Western Hemisphere, and the British Empire fusing and blending races and men throughout the entire world. So these are the given here are the three great groupings for which hold the future of humanity in its hands, as well as the Occident with its second and fourth rays. So let's review this. These are great national centers. Research into the various national centers and esoteric ruling energies, and these three important countries and the parts of the world they rule are very important. What we have to do here is we must compare the five world centers or inlets, and the parts of the world ruled with the parts of the world ruled by these three groupings, namely the British Empire, the United States, and also Russia. Okay, we'll look at that. And there we go. Okay. So the United States really has a rulership over South America. I guess to the United States, which is fusing and blending Central and Western Europe, will be added the power of South America. So the entire Western Hemisphere is centered here in the United States, and I suppose that New York will be the ruling center. When it comes to Russia, fusing and blending Eastern Europe and Western and Northern Asia, Geneva will have some part in this, though it must not encroach on the province of Darjeeling. I think he mentioned Darjeeling in connection with Central Asia. Let's take a look at that, and we will come back to this important page. But Darjeeling, Asia. And he'll tell us about Darjeeling. For India and the greater part of Asia, for Central Asia, all of Central Asia and India. So if we go back here, Western and Northern Asia, but Darjeeling has province over Central Asia and India, of course. So interestingly, that Russia will be blending Eastern Europe and Western and Northern Asia, but Geneva has important rulership over the USSR, which is bigger than Russia, for all of Europe and the USSR. Now, it seems that Geneva shares some rulership here with the United States, doesn't it? The blending of Central and Western Europe, and yet it is said that Geneva has province over all of Europe. So an apparent contradiction here, but at least Geneva and New York for the United States are cooperating. And the British Empire is not just focused in Europe. It is the major synthetic grouping, with London expressing the law of synthesis. And since London is the major center for the British Empire, we can understand the synthesis that is operative considering the British Empire as a center. I think, do we see that we have here different kinds of groupings of different, let's just say, size and influence? We have the whole world. And on it, or in relation to it, we have seven continents, five of which are active at this time. Maybe, well, in a way, in terms of where the major planetary inlets are, four of the continents are active. We have Europe, we have Asia, we have North America, that's considered to be a continent. And let's see if I can get this. The inactive ones are Antarctica, Australia, Africa, and what am I leaving out? I think this is rather crazy, but I'll just have to look at it. Continents. Continents of the world, seven continents. Let's see what they are. This is rather stupid, leaving out a continent, but okay. Let's see. Continents, capitals, continents, official listing of countries, definition of a continent. Okay. African, Asian. All right, let's just ask Google, as if it is the master, what are the seven continents? What are the seven continents? What are the seven continents? And, or are there six continents? It's not making it easy, are they? What are the seven continents? Africa, Antarctica, Asia, Australia, Europe, North America, and South America. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. So, what have I left out? I suppose I left out Africa. Let me just list these, for heaven's sake. Okay. Continents. We have Europe, North, well, I'm going to list them all in one line. North America, South America, Africa, Asia, Australia, and Antarctica. Arctica. Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay. Now, what I was saying is that we were comparing different aggregations and their size. There is the entire world and its five centers, but these five centers are only active on three of the seven continents. So the five world centers at this time are active only on three of the seven continents. And Tokyo and Darjeeling are active in Asia. Geneva and London are active in Europe, and New York is active within North America. So let's underline these for the present moment. North America, Asia, and Europe. So we have the three. Then we have another division. into hemispheres. And especially at this time, the East, the Orient, and the Occident. And these will have their, each one of them, their seven centers. It may be, of course, that just the way DK has been listing five centers for these larger divisions of the world and so forth, that when it comes to the Orient and the Occident, maybe only five centers will be listed. Because we are in the fifth root race. Then, following this, come the nations of the world and their capital cities, or most important cities. Usually the capital city. And so these nations too, in this case, certain cities have been given as representing the chakras of these nations. And he did that, he did that for the United States especially, and he started doing that in relation to the British Empire. We actually have another type of division here. Also, a threefold division of the most influential aggregations. For the advancing of humanity. And what did he just list here? He listed Russia, the United States, and the British Empire. So that's coming a little bit superior to the nations. So in this case, Russia, the United States, and the British Empire. Russia and the United States are nations, of course. The British Empire is not a nation. Not a nation. And therefore, we put this category above the nations and their most important cities. So, in this section we've been studying, and I tend to want to, you know, kind of put this in green or something to differentiate it from all of this red stuff I've been writing. This is green, and I'm going to make it smaller by quite a bit. Okay. All right. So, these are the major divisions of the world, and there is some overlap. These are the influential inlets for the reconstructive forces, for planetary forces, probably for zodiacal forces as well, and the hierarchy studies these to determine what may be the potentials or the liabilities of these various focal points. In the hands of these nations, and we're going back here to the Russia, the United States, and I suppose the UK, including a number of what were its satellite nations, colonies, no longer so, of course, independent nations. In the hands of these nations lies the destiny of the planet. These are the three. You notice how practical he's gotten here. It's a very third-ray approach in the practical sense, dealing with the manifested realities, and not just the energies coming through them, but what one might actually expect. I'd almost like to begin doing the destiny of the nations in this way, but fear that it's just a little bit out of my area of concentration, and while I could say some things, perhaps, I don't know if it would be most profitable, but we'll see. My next intention is to take the second part of the book called The Rays and the Initiations, and since I've quit the cosmic fire process, writing in meticulous detail with just about 100 pages to go, I might take the end of the cosmic fire book and do it in a verbal manner. It wouldn't be as exacting as I've done through writing, but it might be of some value. These are the three major world blocks from the consciousness angle and from the angle of world synthesis. Other and lesser nations will participate in the process with full independence and cooperation. This is, of course, the ideal. And he could even see ahead at that time into the future of Russia, even though it was a totalitarian collection of countries at that time. He could see ahead to the liberation that was coming and to a more democratic process. He could see the obstacles being removed, obstacles in all three of the groupings, imperialism for the United Kingdom, and kind of immature separative idealism for the United States, a kind of adolescent attitude, and for Russia, the dictatorship. Other and lesser nations will participate with full independence and cooperation voluntarily and through the perfecting of their national life in the interests of the whole of humanity. This is such a great ideal set forth here, very beautiful, that the human being does not perfect himself only for himself, but to be of better service to those he contacts, and on the global scale, the nation will learn that it does not selfishly perfect itself. It perfects itself not only for its own welfare, but for the contributions which can be made to the welfare of the other nations and to the welfare of humanity as a whole. And through the desire to express and preserve their soul integrity and their purified national purpose, which purification is now going on. This is very beautiful. I'm going to, in a way, underline it all. And make it a bit purplish. The keynote, however, of human living will be struck by Russia, Great Britain, and the United States. And in this, you kind of wonder what will be the rays assigned to this grouping. We do have to remember that in this case, communism relates to the third ray and humanity. Democracy to the second ray, and monarchy to the first ray. And we, if we look at the three, we do see that, although with modifications, that Russia is becoming more of a democracy, but it was a socialistic, communism-socialism, I suppose, I should put here. It related more to the third ray. United States, democracy with a strong second ray. And Great Britain also, all of them are democracies now in a way, but Great Britain has the monarchy. So the keynote of human living will be struck by these, not because of their power or their historical past and their material resources, you know, Russia will be extensive in this case for material resources and also for territorial extent. Again, it will be Russia. but because they are in a position to fuse and blend the many types, because they are far visioned in their world purpose, and because they are not basically selfish in their intent, and because the government of the peoples reaches down to the depths of each nation and is fundamentally for the people, and this in all cases. So he's certainly seeing the best of these nations. He's seeing the two second-ray souls here and the seventh-ray soul of Russia, and the blend of air soul signs which will relate to the cosmic ethers and to the higher mental plane, Aquarius, Gemini and Aquarius. And he's seeing how they can condition humanity, especially during the Aquarian age. He does not want them to mistake the reason for their prominence. It's not about power, history, resources. It's about consciousness. Their basic constitution, Magna Carta, and Bill of Rights are human. So it's for the people. So the Constitution of Russia, of the Magna Carta, which was so important in the United Kingdom, the Bill of Rights, a further extension, originated in the United States, they relate to the welfare of the people. So the welfare of the people is the great concern for all of these three nations. Other nations will be gradually swept into line with these fundamental spiritual requirements, or if they are already based on these human principles and not on the rule of a powerful minority, you know, the so-called oligarchy, exploiting an unhappy majority, they will cooperate freely with these greater nations in a federation of purpose and of interests until such time when all the nations of the world see the vision clear, forego their selfish aims, and agree in the unity of the work to be done for the whole. A magnificent vision presented here by Master DK, so clearly understood. I think the United States has to be very careful at this time, and maybe, all these three nations have to be careful at this time that they do not fall into the oligarchical pattern of a powerful minority exploiting an unhappy majority. So all three nations are presently challenged in this respect. We see this, the emergence in Russia of a super wealthy class. We see the divide between the rich and the poor becoming greater in the United States, and maybe not to the same extent in the United Kingdom, or I'll focus especially in England and the associated countries there. But it is possible as well that the split between the rich and the poor can be extensive and widening, and this would be very dangerous if they are eventually to fulfill the destiny the DK sees for these great and leading nations who are in a way humanistic. The present dangers will have to be overcome. So we're dealing here, they are human, and we are dealing with a fundamental humanism. I believe he did say that the United States and Russia are both feminine countries. I think Russia... feminine. Yes. So here is where he deals with this. It is useful to bear in mind that some nations are negative and feminine and others are masculine and positive. India, France, the United States of America, Russia, and Brazil are all feminine. I'm somehow remembering I'm somehow remembering that France was given a masculine connotation, but maybe I simply misremember. They are feminine in their psychology, intuitive, mystical, alluring, beautiful, fond of display and color, with all the faults also of the feminine aspects, such as the overemphasis upon the material aspects of life, upon pageantry, upon possession, upon money, or its equivalent as a symbol of the form side of existence, the mother, they mother and nurture civilization. China, Germany, Great Britain, and India are masculine and positive. They are mental, political, governing, standardizing, group conscious, occult by inclination, aggressive, full of grandeur, interest in law, and laying the emphasis upon race and empire. But they are more inclusive and think in wider terms than the feminine aspect. This is so important. And what we notice here is that a feminine nation can have a first-rate soul, and a masculine nation can have a soft-line soul, like Italy, Ray 6, Great Britain, Ray 2, Germany, Ray 4, only China, Ray 1, which may be, in a sense, the most masculine of all the nations, even though governed in a way by a feminine sign, Taurus, in its soul nature. But hardline rays are there in the feminine group. India, Ray 1 soul, France, Ray 5 soul, Russia, Ray 7 soul. So we cannot say that the masculine nations will have hardline soul rays or the feminine nations will have softline soul rays. I'm going to add this here to masculine and feminine souls, or natures, shall we say. And here we go, and let's make this green and small. All right, so this is from The Destiny of the Nations, page 55 and 56. Okay, manifestation. D-O-N 55 and 56. All right. Well, I think we are getting to the point, we're looking here, what section are we actually in? One can comment on something so much that one forgets what is actually happening. But let's just say there is research. We are talking about here research to be done. That's what we're talking about. And research into man centers, research into the national centers. And he's laid out how they are related to each other and the three most important of groupings, Russia, the United States, and Great Britain. And the next thing he's going to talk about is research again into their relation to the planetary centers and systemic centers. So what we have now is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, number 134, C. And we are on page 531. And beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, 135A, I suppose, page 531. Okay, friends, and maybe I think we should do the Great Invocation. This would be a good point to do that. I like to do it periodically, as you know, it being so important to keep all that we are studying in the context of the externalization of the hierarchy and the reappearance of the Christ. And so here we have it. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Good. So that's three programs in this series, and we'll move on to the next. We're in a section of the book which, as I said, is very practical and is trying to apply the science of triangles to issues of immediate concern to the individual and to the groups and nations in which he lives, so that the manifestation aspect of the science of triangles can be appreciated, its practical applications appreciated as every nation attempts, as every individual attempts to improve and refine its nature, as every nation attempts to improve and refine its nature and elevate it so as to better share its national integrity and qualities with other nations and with humanity as a whole. Okay, we'll see you soon.